Welcome to Walk. Your host is Patty Compton Christopher. Throughout our program today, with testimonies of healing through God's power and with Patty's personal walk with God, you'll be enlightened to make choices that can truly change your life. And now, your host, Patty Compton Christopher.
Good morning and welcome to Walk. This is your host, Patty Compton Christopher. It is my hope to awaken your thought to the healing Christ as a very present help. Because I can say from my own experience that through the laws of God, we can be healed of whatever ails us, whether it's physical, mental, marital, or other relationships, economic or job related. By remembering that with God all things are possible, we can just take up that bed of sorrows and complaints, aches and distresses, and walk. And just like the man who had lain 38 years at the pool of Bethesda and took up his bed and walked when Christ told him to do so, you can take up that bed of complaints and place it in the dumpster, because today we are starting anew. Today's show is called God's Angel Messages. And on it, we will examine how these angel messages are able to save us from sin, disease, and death. Angels and their messages play important parts in many Old Testament and New Testament stories. Many prophets, including Christ Jesus, were ministered to by the angels. I'd like to read to you from the Bible in Numbers 22, starting with verse 22. This is where Balaam, the prophet, has been asked by Balak's princes to come and curse the Jewish people because they were becoming too great in number, and he was fearful of them, and so on and so forth. And so this is where we take it up. And Balaam rose in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. I have to say that God had told him not to curse the people. So following on, and God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way, and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall being on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. And he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, Because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in mine hand, for now I would kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, Am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, Nay. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, Go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. Now, what ended up was that he did never curse them, but only blessed them, and it was very distressing to Balak. But Balaam learned always to be obedient to these angel messages that come. Now, according to Luke, messages from God are heard or were heard by Zacharias and Elizabeth regarding the birth of their son John the Baptist, even before Mary heard Gabriel's message to her about the birth of her son, Christ Jesus. And at this point, Zacharias, he's a high priest, and it was his duty to go in and minister in the holiest of holies, and while the people were praying without. It says here, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Okay, so starting with verse 11 of chapter 1 in Luke. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And so it goes on and until the birth, and he gains his voice again and is able to speak, that the name of the child shall be John. But this is another example. We've got to be obedient to these messages of God, because we end up paying quite a bit otherwise. Now, we also have the birth of Christ Jesus in the same chapter 1 and verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and she shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And, of course, we know that Christ Jesus was born, and she didn't get punished for asking the question as how should she come upon this since she doesn't know a man, because she was so receptive. She was receptive. She wasn't blocking the angel message in the least. Now, in Matthew, we also read that Joseph was the recipient of God's angel messages, not only to accept Mary as his wife, despite her pregnant state, but also there were warnings to protect the child from King Herod. And we also read later that both the wise men and the shepherds received angel messages about the Christ. And that would be in Matthew. So you can see that there are many ways that angels take, these angel messages take many forms. And some of the forms that they take these days are very interesting, but I'd like to read to you what Mary Baker Eddy says in Science and Health on page 298, line 25, about angels. She says, angels are not etherealized human beings evolving animal qualities in their wings, but they are celestial visitants flying on spiritual, not material, pinions. Angels are pure thoughts from God, winged with truth and love, no matter what their individualism may be. And then a little further down, she says, angels are God's representatives. These upward soaring beings never lead towards self, sin, or materiality, but guide to the divine principle of all good, whither every real individuality, image, or likeness of God gathers. By giving earnest heed to these spiritual guides, they tarry with us, and we entertain angels unawares. I just love that. Now, she also says in Miscellaneous Writings, in an article called Angels, when angels visit us, we do not hear the rustle of wings, nor feel the feathery touch of the breast of a dove, but we know their presence by the love they create in our hearts. Oh, may you feel this touch. It is not the clasping of hands nor a loved person present. It is more than this. It is a spiritual idea that lights your path. Well, so that is, I think, a lovely description of what we can expect from angel messages. And when we come back, we're going to go to break in just a little bit. When we come back, we're going to talk about the form that these angel messages take in this day and age, and how people are able to to receive the messages. So stay with me. This is Patty Compton Christopher. You're listening to Walk, and we are discussing God's angel messages. Be back in a minute.
The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. The Christian Science Practitioner's Office is here for you for Christ-centered healing. Matthew 19:26 says, "All things are possible with God." Call area code 504-833-5511 for healing. Also, check out these websites for reliable information on Christian Science. In New Orleans, visit www.christianscienceneworleans.org. In other parts of Louisiana, visit www.christianscienceLouisiana.com or see the national website at www.christianscience.com. Vocally Studio Supplies, where you buy your vocal studio supplies for a song. Find our webpage at www.vocallystudiosupplies.net, where you can learn more about the vocal technique and products offered. Then, shop us at www.vocallystudiosupplies.com, where we have a variety of products, including books, posters, CDs, sheet music, breath control aids, and complete teaching packages. Vocal E Studio Supplies. Professional tools equal professional results. Visit vocallystudiosupplies.com and .net today. The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Be extraordinary. Be the change. You are listening to Walk. To reach Patty Compton Christopher, send us an email to walkradiovoiceamerica@gmail.com. That is walkradiovoiceamerica@gmail.com. Now, back to Walk.
Okay, we're back again, and you're listening to God's Angel Messages. We're going to talk now about the forms that these angel messages come in. And one of the forms that I'd like to talk about just briefly is that some people will ask God a question, and then they will open their Bible randomly at a point, and a particular verse will stand out to them. And it's the answer. I do know that sometimes the answer doesn't come immediately, and you just have to keep pursuing. Now, most of the time, that I have experienced, it's been audible messages that I can hear directly. And I had a friend who was a realtor who used to get angel messages all the time, especially when her children were doing things that she wasn't aware of. And so she might be cleaning house or doing some gardening, and she'd get an angel message, and she would immediately get up and go and check on the kids and find them in some sort of state of impending doom or maybe engaged in a naughty activity. So she learned very early that she should be obedient to these angel messages telling her to get up and check on the children. Now, when I was preparing the house before Hurricane Katrina, I asked God what he wanted me to do, and I was fully expecting him to tell me to stay in the house and pray and you know, for protection of the whole city. But he said for me to pack my bags and leave. Well, I didn't feel like I could stay around then, so I did leave. And afterwards, I was hoping to set up housekeeping in the city where my husband was. We were estranged at the time, but I thought that maybe we would be able to get back together again. And when I asked God what my next steps were, he told me to return to New Orleans and to work in the Christian Science Practitioner's Office and to work the reclamation effort. And I remember asking him, well, why do I have to do this? And his answer was, because you are the one that listens. So this is a key point that we need. This is one reason we need quiet time. We need prayer time. We need that time with God alone so that we can hear what his messages for us are. And over the years, I have really learned that ignoring God's angel messages gets me into much trouble and turmoil. Not quite as the same as what Balaam got into, but it was worthy of note. Shortly after I graduated from college, I got a supplemental job as a clerk in a gift shop. And I had just been trained on processing the credit cards. This was, you know, Christmas time and people were doing a lot of shopping and so forth with credit cards. And as I was taking this customer's information, I was constantly being warned to look at the signature on the back of the card. Well, I kept putting it off, not yet, until I actually forgot to do it. And immediately I caught a little bit of hell from my supervisor for having neglected to do so. And that incident really showed me how important it is to quit arguing with those messages and to be obedient immediately to them. Well, I remember an incident when I was engaged in, unfortunately, an argument with one of my children. And when she left the room, I heard, "Why do you hate her?" And I said, "I don't hate her." And God said, "Well, you need to show her more love." And I was stunned. I realized, though, that even though I thought I was justified in taking a tough stand on the topic we were arguing over, that it was better to speak lovingly rather than harshly. I remember another time where my teenager decided to go live with her daddy in another state. And I was totally conflicted and quite saddened over the situation until an incident occurred at a garage sale I was having. A lady dropped by the garage sale with her two grandchildren. There was a 5 or 6 year old little boy and his 3 year old sister who was being a terrible pest. She was bothering her brother, pushing him, screaming at him, and messing up everything he touched or looked at. Well, when she came close to me, I told her how pretty her dress and shoes were, and how pretty she was. And I asked her how old she was, and she held up 3 fingers. I remarked that she was quite grown up, and that I just knew she really wanted to act grown up and be grown up. So I told her that I knew she wanted to be very good and helpful to her brother. And she nodded yes. And do you know what she did? Immediately she turned around and began picking up all the toys she had thrown down and began acting very grown up and helpful. And her grandmother stood there gaping at the sight and remarked, "She has been like a recalcitrant teen ever since she turned 2. And I have been unable to get her to obey or change her ways. But in one conversation, one short conversation, you have transformed her." Well, they made their purchases, and they all walked back home again quietly. My angel message came with this. if you can see this little stranger so perfectly as God's image, you can certainly see your own teenager in the same light. And I realized I had been highly critical. I had been just down on her all the time, and this is what prompted her to move away. So I immediately began praying about all of her good points and qualities that reflect God. And I just kept cherishing those qualities and expressing gratitude for her. And I truly did not expect anything to happen as soon as it did. But that evening, I received a call back from her asking if she could come home. So we have to heed these angel warnings. Now, I want to tell you about a friend whose son, unfortunately, he used illegal drugs. And he was a minor. And he left home because he would not conform to his parents' rules about illegal substance abuse. And at some point, he apparently was riding a horse and fell and broke his arm. Well, my friend was called to the hospital because he was a minor. And when she tried to have him... she tried to remove him from the hospital, but he was heavily sedated, and that just wasn't wise. So she waited a couple of days, and when she was able to take him home to care for him there, she told him that he could stay home if he liked, but that the house rules still applied. Well, and then she went on to the grocery, and when she came back from the grocery, of course, he left again. And she was just in anguish. She paced all night, and finally she asked, "What am I doing wrong?" Then she heard, as if it was being shouted into her ear, "Stop being a smotherly mother." She says it was so vivid and loud and clear that it was as if someone was in the room with her. And so she turned and to see who it was, but there was no one in the room. But she still answered, "I am not a smotherly mother." And God's reply was, "Then let go and let God." Well, she prayed all night. She recited prayers that she'd learned in Sunday school and things memorized from the Bible, and she sang hymns until she was finally at peace, and she went to bed. Later the next day, she received a call that her son had gotten into an automobile wreck. Fortunately for him, the other driver just said, "Look, all I want is for you to pay for my bumper." Apparently, this was a pivotal moment for him because it blocked him from being able to use the money he had on illegal drugs. So after paying off the bumper, he called and asked if he could come home. And he came home and never touched the illegal drugs again. He finished school, he got a job, and it was a wonderful healing. And that was because that woman did listen to God to tell her to let go and let God. Now, I've got tons of these things. This is one of my own personal ones again. This was, at one point I was, invited to go to a casual acquaintance's house to watch a big football game. And I was getting myself ready. I was still married, and I was getting myself ready. And again, my husband and I were estranged, so he wasn't even living at the house. But I was getting myself ready, and as I get dressed, I sometimes I'll ask God, well, what shall I wear? And and he wouldn't say anything. I said, well, Father, I've got to wear something. You've got to tell me because I'm going to this party. And he told me, do not go because his intentions are not honorable. So I was really quite stunned because this guy knew that I was married. And anyway, I eventually begged out of attending his party, but he still would invite me to come to the house and so forth. And I just kept refusing. And finally, I just prayed for him to find a good woman for companionship. And later, I learned, to my great relief, that he had found a girlfriend, and all was well. So, this was another angel message that I'm very glad to have received. It was a warning. They come as warnings, they come as guides. And I have another one here from a different friend. She and I were going to a government building to bring some paperwork to a particular person. And for various reasons, this person just had been impossible to speak with on the phone. So we opted to go to his office in hopes of catching him there, since it was, well, we kind of felt like he was avoiding her, even though they had never met. We just sort of felt like he didn't really want to get involved with her situation. And so we began to walk up the front steps of the building, and my friend absolutely stopped dead, stopped short, would not move another inch. And I placed my hand under her elbow, and, you know, I was thinking she needed some assistance to climb the steps. But she resisted, and she said, I cannot move another step until God tells me so. So she looked around and saw a man at the top of the steps and called out the name of the person we were seeking. And he immediately answered. And then we climbed up the steps to greet him and discuss what to do with the paperwork. Now later, my friend told me to always listen for God's angel messages and then obediently follow directions. If you want to save yourself some time and trouble in retracing your steps, if you spend time arguing with those angels, you will hear yourself say, I knew I should have done that. Sometimes these angel messages just don't seem logical or necessary at the time, but later it will be revealed why the messages were given to you. And you will end up regretting that you ever ignored the warning and didn't heed the call. Now, people who listen are saved from automobile collisions, saved from making mistakes at work. And, I mean, I heard a testimony by one person who was driving down a street and was warned to slow to a crawl. And as she did that, up came this little child between two cars. And because she was going so slow, she was able to stop. And that just prevented a horrible tragedy. We've got to be grateful for things like that. Sometimes these angel messages are visual, and sometimes they're both audible and visual. Now, I had a voice student who was the product of a broken home. And she was a very busy teenager who depended upon her mother for transport at nearly every function she attended after school. And her mother finally was beginning to allow her daughter to get rides from to and from events with her boyfriend, until one day they were both nearly killed by a man speeding through a stop sign. And she told me about this incident. And then the following week, I was taking a nap before taking some more students at home when I was awakened by these words that just popped out of my mouth. Michelle has been in a terrible accident. I sat up and thought, how did this happen? And immediately I had a vision of this horrible collision. And I said, no, I will rework this. But it all just got worse and more graphic, and I just didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to heal it. I wasn't really practicing Christian Science that way. And so 4 days later, I learned, unfortunately, that she had been killed. And a few days later, she was followed by the death of her mother, who was driving that day. Now, judging from evidence and experience now, I would like to believe that if I had known how to truly reverse the picture, I could have saved their lives. Unfortunately, I believed the vivid picture that played before my thought. Now, I'd like to go a little bit further into this, but we're running short here before the next break. I will go as far as I can, and then we'll have to take it up again. Another time, here I was now studying Christian Science, and as I was praying, I saw a vision of a woman stepping off a curb into the path of an oncoming car. And I heard at the same time what I thought was my mother's voice yelling, "No, no, no." Well, I was very concerned and began calling home, but she wasn't there. So I called the office where she was scheduled for an appointment, and she was right there, safe and sound. And when we come back, I am going to tell you how this all ended up. You're listening to Walk, and we've been talking about God's angel messages. Don't leave me now. Stay tuned.
This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Vocally Studio Supplies, where you buy your vocal studio supplies for a song. Find our webpage at www.vocallystudiosupplies.net, where you can learn more about the vocal technique and products offered. Then, shop us at www.vocallystudiosupplies.com, where we have a variety of products, including books, posters, CDs, sheet music, breath control aids, and complete teaching packages. Vocal E Studio Supplies. Professional tools equal professional results. Visit vocallystudiosupplies.com and .net today. The Christian Science Practitioner's Office is here for you for Christ-centered healing. Matthew 19:26 says, "All things are possible with God." Call area code 504-833-5511 for healing. Also, check out these websites for reliable information on Christian Science. In New Orleans, visit www.christianscienceneworleans.org. In other parts of Louisiana, visit www.christianscienceLouisiana.com or see the national website at www.christianscience.com. Be visionary. This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Listening to Walk. To reach Patty Compton Christopher, send us an email to walkradiovoiceamerica@gmail.com. That is walkradiovoiceamerica@gmail.com. Now, back to Walk.
Well, we're back again with God's Angel Messages here on Walk. And before the break, I was talking about a little vision that I had along with an audible thing where I saw someone stepping off a curb and getting hit by a car, and I heard, "No, no, no." Well, I called around and I found out that it wasn't my mother, that she was safe and sound. But I was still very unnerved and called a fellow practitioner for prayer. When she told me not to believe a lie. Well, you can imagine I was pretty upset by that because I knew that I rarely ever had visions. So they must be given to me for a reason. And her response was they were given to be healed. They were given to be healed. So I began praying that because there were no accidents in God's kingdom, there could be no accidents in God's reflected kingdom, or right where we live. And I had to know that God was the governor, and that therefore there could never be any evil befall his image and likeness. I was at peace, and then I never thought about it again until 2 weeks later, when I learned that my older sister had been hit by a car in a parking lot as she stepped off the curb to enter the crosswalk. And she said she refused to be taken to the hospital because she felt that it was so minor an accident, and she was healed by the end of the week. I was very relieved that I had healed that vision. She's not a Christian Scientist, but apparently that work, it goes out regardless, and it goes out to anyone and everyone that needs it. God is good, and he does that. Well, I had a vision another time when I was cleaning my house, and the vision was of my daughter being thrown from a horse. But by that time, I knew what I was supposed to do, and immediately I reversed it by knowing that God holds all his children in his arms to protect them. I still went to the barn, and I found out that she had been thrown off a horse, but that it resulted in no physical harm. So it's vitally important not to believe those terrible pictures that come to us, but to reverse it, because we know what the laws of God are, and we know that in God's kingdom, no such thing can happen. I know that in a previous program, I told you about how God awoke me in the night and said, attack is imminent. And at that point, I began praying that love arrests hate, and life arrests death, truth arrests error, and good arrests evil. And I just kept going down and saying the truth versus the error. And the next day, I saw on the news that a car bomb that had been planted in Times Square had failed to go off. Now, these are examples of warnings, good warnings. But we need to be aware of other types of messages that take the form of criticism, either by others or it's maybe self-inflicted criticism. Now, these evil messages are meant to undermine all the good that is done in our lives. And they come often just as soon as we begin to achieve good things. These evil messages would create self-doubt, fear, apathy, and discontent with fellow workers, with church members, with family members. And we call this in Christian Science animal magnetism. It is subtle. And unless one is alert, awake, and ready to fend it off, it will stop you from doing the very thing God has led you to accomplish. Make absolutely certain that you discern between evil and good messages. Know that only good comes from the divine mind, God. And know that because you are tributary to that mind of God, and so are one with that mind of God, you can see that any evil messages coming to you are not of God, but of the carnal mind. In Christian Science, we are instructed to evangelize the human mind. in order to bring it into compliance with the divine mind. One way to do this is to declare your oneness with God and disown any identity in evil. It takes daily, hourly, minute by minute work, prayer, to rid oneself of those error-filled messages. But it is possible. And it is absolutely vital to having a balanced and good life. In Mary Baker Eddy's exegesis of Revelation, she writes about the angels Michael and Gabriel on pages 566 and 567. And she says, and I quote, "Michael's characteristic is spiritual strength. He leads the hosts of heaven against the power of sin, Satan, and fights the holy wars. Gabriel has the more quiet task of imparting a sense of the ever-presence of ministering love. These angels deliver us from the depths. Truth and love come nearer in the hour of woe, when strong faith or spiritual strength wrestles and prevails through the understanding of God." That's the end of the quote. To be able to hear God's angel messages is a gift from God. And to be able to see prophetic warnings or visions needing to be healed is also a gift from God. But rather than allowing yourself to become frozen in fear or anyway believe that God is not right where he needs to be, protecting your loved one, take a stand against the evil and pronounce God's allness, omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence to that lie. Pronounce it to that lie and thereby cast it out, healing the situation. I truly hope that you will be able to trust God's angel messages and act obediently upon them. And if they are warnings, I hope you can heal the thought of them and thereby heal it for someone else. You may be led, as I was led, to take a drive, buy a lunch, and drive to a particular dumpster in the middle of New Orleans to find a homeless man in need of a good meal. And there he was, digging through the dumpster. My experience showed that there is nothing to fear in that kind of angel message. This little guy was so grateful to get his lunch. And not only did I give him a lunch, I gave him a Christian Science Sentinel for him to read and enjoy while he was eating his lunch. And one time I was led to follow a lady whose luggage rack on top of her car was flipping open and it was strewing its contents across the highway. I motioned to her to pull over and then helped her close and lock the luggage carrier. And another time I was led to pull over after I saw a lady's car hit a light pole, which landed across the highway and could potentially cause other collisions. So I got out of the car and began directing traffic around the pole until police arrived and were able to move it off the highway. There was nothing to fear in either of those cases because I felt the calm, serene peace that comes from that assurance of God being all about me. Now, I have a tremendous healing that I'd like to read to you, a tremendous testimony. And It's entitled Lump on Breast Disappears with Persistent Prayer and Spiritual Growth. Several years ago, I found a lump on my breast and I was frightened. I was accustomed to using spiritual means for healing all kinds of illnesses, and I called a Christian Science practitioner to pray with me. After several months, other things began to demand my attention, and I decided to ask the practitioner to discontinue her prayer, thinking I would just pray for myself later, when I could find more time. The practitioner urged me not to ignore this condition, but to continue praying. Since I wasn't having any pain, I tapered off in my prayer. Pretty soon, I wasn't doing anything about it at all. Several years later, the lump began to hurt, and I could no longer ignore it. Once again, I called a practitioner for help, and I also decided to rededicate myself to getting to the root of this problem, which I felt was mental in nature rather than physical, and correcting it. I wanted to expect to be well. We prayed diligently for several months. I was confident that the underlying source of trouble would become apparent, and that's exactly what happened. When I was growing up, some terrible things had happened to me, and I learned to harden my thinking in order not to be hurt by these things. I learned not to cry in any situation and to keep others at a distance emotionally, trusting only myself. As the practitioner and I prayed, I started to see a correlation between my hardened thinking and the lump in my breast. I knew my thinking was what needed to be changed. It was a painful process. I had a lot of anger and resentment that needed to be handled, that needed to be healed. At the same time, the pain in my breast became so intense that it would wake me up at night. After one particularly discouraging day, it occurred to me that prayer had always healed me quickly and that I was embarrassed that this effort was taking so long. It made me feel unworthy and unintelligent. I decided I should give the practitioner a break from helping me. I'll never forget the love I felt when she said, "Oh, no, you don't." I was surprised and relieved at the same time. She had not given up on me, and she was obviously inspired not to let me give up either. One day I went to the practitioner's office to discuss some question I had. Even though my understanding of Christian Science was growing, I still felt that I lacked inspiration. The practitioner prayed silently as I sat there. Within myself, in my thoughts, I clearly heard these words, "You are mine." It was as if God had announced my relationship to Him, and I felt inspired. And as it turns out, she was healed, and the entire thing disappeared. Now, this is a beautiful example of listening to God's words and understanding how deep His love is for her. Her name was Elizabeth Bannon of Oro Valley, Arizona, and this was a testimony given during the December 23rd, 2002 volume of the Sentinel Radio program. It has been my good pleasure to bring you this word of faith today. Let me remind you that with God, all things are possible. Further, let's remember what it says in Isaiah 55:11. God's word goeth out in righteousness and doth not return unto him void, but he maketh it to prosper in the thing wherein he hath sent it. So prosper, y'all. Bye now.
Thank you for tuning in today to Walk. Patty Compton Christopher will be back again next Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Central Time, and noon Eastern Time on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel. This week, take hold of Christ's healing power and change your life. Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the 7th Wave Network.
For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.